Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. Took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The unsettling account of Jesus' encounter with the Syrophoenician woman does not only unsettle us living where we are in the world, it has unsettled Christians for centuries in various ways. Jesus insults her, as we all know, and that insult seems to be a very strange and awkward thing for someone that we often think as meek and mild as Jesus was. Mark and Matthew, it seems, were even wrestling sort of indirectly with each other over this text. In Matthew's telling of this story, we have a clearer indication of what Mark implies here, and that's Jesus has gone to Tyre to get away from the crowds. And so it's easy to imagine that Jesus, when he gets to Tyre, is tired and probably a little bit grumpy when she shows up demanding something of him. But there's also a lot more cultural information packed into this story. We're not sure exactly what Mark means by Syrophoenician, except that the implication is, and this is something Matthew picks up on when he says that she's a Canaanian or a Canaanite woman, the implication is she is about as far from Jesus culturally and socially and in terms of religious faith and spirituality as anyone can possibly get. She is completely on the other side of the world in that sense. And yet she has the audacity to come to Jesus, and the implication is come to Jesus publicly and demand something of him. The other thing that Mark may be doing here is telling us that actually Jesus is not the hero of this story. And when we take this into account in the wider context of the Gospels, that's saying something. Jesus is not the hero here. Someone else is. And this is a message that is meant for Mark's community, that, like the community to which the letter of James today was written, was divided in all kinds of ways. It was divided between rich and poor. It was divided along cultural lines, and it was clearly divided between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. And there were questions about how the two would ever come together. Mark, I think, wants us to understand that it's the Syrophoenician woman who is the hero of this story. And do you see how she approaches Jesus? She doesn't just come up to him and confront him. In Jesus' world, a confrontation like that would have resulted in shouting or simply the turning of a cold shoulder, or even worse, things that still happen in many parts of the world today when people don't like each other. It involves spitting and even worse insults than we see here. Jesus, in a way, kind of softens the insult. He uses in the Greek the word puppies, which at least to our ears softens it a little bit, leaving just enough of a door open to her. But it's what she does that matters. She comes and she bows before him. She sees in him something that she needs for her daughter, and she is willing to honor him, to receive him. Something that no Gentile would do to a first century Jew, especially a stranger, and especially across the lines of gender. And it's her witty response to him that really grabs his attention. He's willing to stay with her in the conversation. He didn't have to do that, but he does, because something he realizes is going on here that he needs to see. She's the hero of the story because of her perseverance. Every fiber of her being knows that approaching Jesus is going to be a problem. But even deeper in her being is the love that she has for her daughter, and she is going to fight for that every step of the way, and she's going to stay with him no matter how he reacts or responds to her. And in the wider context of Mark's gospel, that means that her faith stands head and shoulders above even the faith of the disciples. If you remember in Mark's gospel, the disciples are constantly clueless. I sometimes call Mark the story of Jesus and the Three Stooges. You know, but I'm kind of in line. It's always kind of biff, baff, off.
You know,
what is Jesus doing now? We don't get it. The Syrophoenician woman hasn't even been journeying with him. The only information she might have has come to her, not through the internet, of course, in the first century, but through the gossip network, which is just about as fast. And she's heard enough that she knows there's hope that he might heal her daughter. And so she goes to him, throws all caution to the wind, exposes herself to the chance of being publicly shamed and humiliated. But it's worth it because of the love she has for her child. And that is a takeaway. For Mark's audience in the first century, it's a takeaway because it's telegraphing a message to the Gentile members of his community, those who are kind of on the outside looking in, struggling to find their way into recognition in the faith, that they belong to and they must persevere, that they have a place at the table, even if sometimes they are treated like dogs under the table. They still have a place there. And that matters. And they need to hang in there with it. And to us, centuries later, that perseverance is what matters in this life of faith. when we think about today being the anniversary of Church of Our Savior, and to think about all that has happened over the past 132 years in this community and in the wider world and in this parish, I want to invite you to remember those who have persevered and made it possible for you and me to be here today. Some of those people who have persevered are here in this room. Persevered through conflict, persevered through down times, through good times, through bad times, yes, through pandemics, lockdowns. Persevered through disappointments. Persevered in the wider context because, as we always come back to, coming to church in Southern Marin is kind of an odd thing to do, isn't it? And there are so many other things you and I could be doing this morning because there are so many options on the table, and yet we persevere, we are here. Because we are seeking something from Jesus, just like the Syrophoenician woman. Something that helps us protect and cherish what we most value in this life. And to also be challenged and called to live a life of greater faith, to remember the forgotten, the least, the unhoused, the ill, the imprisoned, those who struggle at the edges of poverty, even in one of the wealthiest parts of the world. Perseverance is where it's at. It's the mark of our faith, so to speak. Mark knows this and wants his community and ours so many centuries later to hear this and to hang in there. God has work to do here that we can't even begin to imagine. We are only starting to scratch the surface of what that will look like for us and for those who come after us. And that's good news this day. Thanks to the perseverance of many, thanks to the witness of an unnamed Syrophoenician woman all those centuries.
Thank you for listening to the sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907, search for us online, or visit our website at oursaviormillvalley.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.